Your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And there's a text here that I intended to preach fully. I don't ordinarily do series unless it's Sunday school lessons where we're teaching out of a book like we are on Sunday morning. But it looks like there's 3 points in this text that we want to cover more diligently than we normally afford time on Wednesday night. And so what I'm going to do is I'll tell you what they are and just deal with the first point tonight because there's a lot in it. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Let's go right to the text and then we'll talk about the context so we know where we are in this. 1 Samuel chapter 12, look at verse 20. 1 Samuel chapter 12, look at verse 20. And Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not, you have done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Turn ye not aside, for then should you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they're vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people." Now notice what he says here. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord. And then he says it again in the beginning of verse 21. Turn ye not aside. Turn not aside from following the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're very thankful tonight to have the opportunity to preach the Word of God. And we pray, Lord, that you accomplish tonight what you desire with this text. Lord, we pray for the teens that are in the teen class tonight with Tony. We pray for the children that are in the Bible club with their teachers and helpers. We pray for the children that are in the nursery and the nursery workers. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would prevail in every area tonight, that the children would in the nursery would know they are safe and in the presence of those that love them and care for them and want to see them grow in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord, that those that are in Bible club are truly learning Bible and getting to know your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and getting to know you through those that are teaching them and through the words of God that are being taught to them. We pray for the teens, Heavenly Father, that truly they will understand the joy of living eternal life is far greater than the pleasures of living temporal life. That they would be able to see in the Word of God and in the life of those that they know here that have lived for a while as saved people, that it's worth making the investment they're making tonight in the words of God to learn that doctrine and to be corrected and reproved and instructed by Scripture. Father, we pray for our folks here tonight, that you'll help us, Lord. There are people today that are turning aside from you. We pray tonight, Father, that all of us that are here will be able to hear something in the Word of God tonight that will strengthen us so that we don't turn aside. We pray that you're honored and glorified in all that we do. Thank you so much for those who praise the Lord tonight, for the answers to prayer that we've heard. Thank you also, Father, for the gifts that will be given to the missionaries. We really do pray that these things will be very, very helpful and meet specific needs at specific times, Father, that you may be glorified and that thanksgiving may redound to you. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So what's going on in the context is an admonition from Samuel to Israel that they turn not aside from following the Lord. What had happened? It leading up to this is that Israel forsook the Lord and asked for a king. They wanted to be like all the other nations. We've come now out of the time of the judges. Samuel is the last judge, and Israel had to be delivered time and again by the judges that were raised up. Gideon, Samson, those are some of the names that you're familiar with. And so they were being pressured by the Ammonites, and they were scared, and so they asked for a king. And Philistines are their enemies, and they wanted a king to lead them like the other nations had. And when they did this, they rejected God. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Honestly, they'd already rejected him. But it manifested in their decision to go for a king. 1 Samuel chapter 8, look at verse 7. The Lord said unto Samuel when they requested a king, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me that I should not reign over them. Well, you just don't want to be in a situation like that with God. But it is one of the reasons why, if we're applying this to ourselves, it's just one of the reasons why Christians turn aside from following the Lord, because they don't want God telling them what to do. And Israel did not want the Lord to tell them what to do, although he had made so many provisions for them and truly had gotten them out of Egypt through the wilderness into the land of Canaan and was there to defeat their enemies so that they could have a land flowing with milk and honey and already had houses and cities they didn't have to work for, but they weren't satisfied with that. Well, look at 1 Samuel chapter 10 at verse 19. You know, God has given us an awful lot. It's funny how it's easy to become discontent with spiritual things when the pleasures of sin entice you, but that's what happens. 1 Samuel chapter 10, look at verse 19. Saul is now a chosen king, and look what Samuel says, you have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And you have said unto him, nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And then from this, Saul is chosen. So even after all that God had done for them, Israel forsook the Lord. And we see in 1 Samuel chapter 12, worshipped Baal and Ashtoreth. They started doing that back in Judges chapter 2. But look here in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 6. Samuel's recounting some of Israel's blessings and then their disobedience. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 6. Samuel said unto the people, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgat the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. Isn't that funny? He had already delivered them out of the hand of their enemies, and they said, we'll serve you. And after a little while, they said, you know, we don't want to do what God wants us to do. And so that it was a roller coaster. It was a seesaw for them. And God had sent them judges to deliver them out of the hand of their enemies. And then he even gave them King Saul. And in chapter 11, Saul led them in a battle against Nahash and the Ammonites and defeated them. Look in verse 11 and 12. The Lord sent Jerubbaal, that's Gideon, and Bedan, and Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelled safe. And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said unto me, nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. You know, God was displeased with their request, but he granted it. Verse 13, now therefore behold the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired, and behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. He didn't like it, but he did it. So with this background, with this context, what we're seeing here is that Samuel says, guys, turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. If you're going to solve this problem, don't turn aside from following the Lord. And to keep them from turning aside, and to keep us from turning aside, he says, you got to fear the Lord. First of all, you've got to fear the Lord. Look in verse 14 of 1 Samuel chapter 12. The Lord set a king over you, verse 13, but look at verse 14. If you will, what are the next three words? Fear the Lord. And serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also your king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. In other words, I didn't like the fact that I've had to put a king over you, but if you guys will do these four things, fear me, serve, or fear the Lord, serve him, obey his voice and not rebel against him, then you and your king will continue following the Lord. Verse 15, if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. So he says, if you're going to serve the Lord and not turn aside from following him, you're going to have to fear the Lord. Now, in order to emphasize the point, look what the Lord did in verse 16. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. That we die not. See that? For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. First thing he says you got to do is you're going to have to fear the Lord. So the Lord, and he said if you'll do that, you won't quit following the Lord, and he won't turn against you. And when he wanted to emphasize the point that he had the power to enforce his decision, he sent that thunder and rain just to add a little emphasis to it, to emphasize the point that if I decide I want to bring consequences to your disobedience, I can do that. And they got so scared, they thought they were going to die. That's what he said. That's what they said to him in verse 19. Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God that we die not. They were afraid God was going to kill them. Laws need enforcement. Commands need enforcement. There are consequences for disobedience. And God just made that statement right there to put a little exclamation point on the things that Samuel had said. Now, in verse 20, which is where we began with our text, Samuel said unto the people, fear not. You've done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Wait a minute, he just said, if you'll fear the Lord and obey him and serve him and not rebel against him, then you'll keep following the Lord. Now he's telling them not to fear. Well, make up your mind, Samuel. Is it you want us to fear the Lord or you want us to fear not? What is it? And the truth of the matter is, he didn't mean for them to quit fearing the Lord when he said fear not. He wanted them not to be frightened that they would die. In other words, the consequence for choosing a king is not death. So don't fear that you're going to die. There is a big difference, and this is the point tonight. This is the point. There's actually three things in here that need to be preached, but we should concentrate on this. There is a big difference between being afraid of God and fearing God. There is a big difference. And we need to understand that difference tonight if we are going to be able to benefit from the fear of the Lord that is shown to us in verse 20. What is it to be afraid? To be afraid is to be frightened. To be afraid is to be filled with fear, alarm, apprehension. It's the feeling you get when something terrible happens. Or let's say you're out walking around in a ranch or something like that, and all of a sudden, right next to your foot, you hear a rattlesnake. Brrr, like that. That feeling that gets on you right then, that causes you to run 100 yards in some direction other than where that snake is, that's fear. And it's frightening. That's what it is. It's the same thing that happens when you hear a burglar. Have you ever woken up to the sound of a burglar in your house? Yeah, you know, usually you don't get up all composed like, oh, let's see if we make a pot of coffee and take care of our guests. You know, this no, there's like, where's the gun? We got a problem here. Everything goes into high alert with that apprehension. Sometimes you might be driving in traffic or something, and then an accident begins to unfold in front of you, and that fear just grips you. And it's instantaneous. One heartbeat, there is no adrenaline in your system other than what you need to function. And the next heartbeat, there's enough that you could compete in the Olympics. Just boom, like that. Some people are frightened by things that are a lot less terrible than that. Some people are frightened by going to the doctor's office. They call that white coat syndrome. Some of us, man, we get this much gray hair, we spend more time in the doctor's office than we do a lot of other places. You know, eventually you get over it just out of repetition, I guess. But some people are frightened by taking final exams. And even to this day, my mother is 91 years old. Even to this day, she still has nightmares from time to time about finals. You know, been a long time since she's been in college, but I mean, and so you understand that that fright or that being afraid, to be afraid, is associated with a feeling that you have when you're scared. It's the same feeling you get when you get caught doing something that you know you're not supposed to be doing, something that you were doing wrong. Perhaps when you were a child and you got caught, or you're older and you get caught by somebody that you really didn't want to catch you, okay? That's being frightened or that's being afraid. And when Israel saw that thunder and that rain, they were scared. They were afraid. They thought they were going to die. So Samuel said, fear not. The fear of the Lord, on the other hand, is it's not reverence, but it is a profound and reverent fear inspired by God's deity. He's God, you're not. And that alone causes fear because everything in the universe was designed by God for God's pleasure. Everything in the universe is designed to obey God. What if the sun this morning just decided, you know what, I'm sick and tired of that. I'm not obeying you anymore. That's sure going to mess up a lot of things. Now, there's no way to adjust for daylight savings time when the sun just all of a sudden decides. But it doesn't do that. It is so regulated by God and so consistent, they can tell you what the sunrise is going to be 1,000 years from now. And that's calculating for things, whatever, slowing down. You know, it's amazing, but it's just so regular. So it's a fear inspired by God's deity. It's a fear inspired by God's authority. He wrote this book and told you how everything's going to be, and everything is coming out just the way He said it was going to be. And He gives commands in here, and the fact that He is who He is that gives those commands should, anyway, yield fear. It's a fear inspired by God's authority. It's a fear inspired by God's power. He showed that with the thunder and rain. And the desire was not so that they would walk away scared, but step back and go, this God who just told us to fear Him is very powerful. His prophet is very powerful. He just said He's going to call in some rain and thunder at a time when it's not raining and thundering, and boom, it happened just as soon as He said it was going to happen. Matter of fact, there's some farmers right now that would like somebody to prophesy and get a little rain around here. It's getting kind of dry. And that's a powerful God. And when you know something that has that kind of power, that kind of authority, that kind of deity, that should strike, I think a good word is awe in you. It's just a fear of that person. And it's not scared, like scared of the doctor. It is profound. It's, you know what it is? And it's what he's talking about here. It's a fear that says, I'm going to obey that guy. I am not crossing God. I'm not going to do that. You know, the fear of the Lord will help you follow the Lord. And the thing about it is, you may not feel anything in the fear of the Lord. I fear God right now, but I'm not. There's no change in my blood pressure, no change in my heart rate, no adrenaline just added on the statement. I fear Him, but I'm not scared right now. Do you understand? And likewise, if you see your head nod, you understand. I know you understand. You've experienced both of these. So the fear of the Lord will help you. It is essential to you following the Lord. That's why He said it first. If you'll fear the Lord, and then He says, and serve Him and obey Him and not rebel against Him, you'll continue following Him. It is essential that we fear the Lord if we're going to follow Him. You fear His deity, you fear His power, you fear His authority, right here in these words. So when you fear the Lord, when you really fear the Lord, you're not going to cross Him. You know what He said, and you know He doesn't want you to do that. You look at that and you go, you know what, I am not crossing that because I fear You. You're going to obey Him. Doesn't mean that you become sinless. There are still things that get you, but you know where God stands on those things, and you say, you know, that is a line I am not going to cross. That is a fixed boundary in my life, and I'm going to obey the God that said, don't cross that line. You know, it's kind of like going to, you're out somewhere, and all of a sudden you come up to a fence, and it says, danger. No trespassing, don't cross. And you smell a noxious smell coming from something over there. You know, the last thing in the world that you, if you're smart, that you want to do is go over the fence and go in there and see, wow, what is that? Let's take a swim in this. I mean, it's, you know, but there are some people who do. And because they don't fear that commandment that what's on the other side of this fence is not good for you. So if you were to come up with a fence like that, it wouldn't strike. You wouldn't be scared. It wouldn't, because you hadn't done anything wrong. It just says, don't go in there. There's something bad there. When Emma was a little bit younger, and we had, I was doing burgers out on the pit there, and she came outside behind Ann after I'd come in, and she just, wow, just blistered that hand. First word that she learned in the English language was hot. And if I'm drinking coffee or tea or we're cooking, she walks in, hot, hot. This, you know, don't touch that. I mean, that is firmly implanted. And that's what God's trying to do here with the thunder and rain episode, is just don't cross me. Don't cross, fear me. I don't want you to be scared of me, but I want you to obey me. That's the whole purpose behind the Lord doing this. Go with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Look at this here in Exodus. Same kind of situation. When God first spoke to Israel as a nation, I mean, they have come out of Egypt. They have seen the plagues. They saw the crossing of the Red Sea. They're out there now. God finally gets them to Mount Sinai. He says, now I need to, I got you out here where I can talk to you. I got your undivided attention. Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. He's given them the Ten Commandments now. 18. All the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not. See, they were afraid of dying, lest we die. So, don't be scared. Fear not. For God has come to prove you that His fear may be before your faces that you sin not. See that? Same situation. Don't be scared of him, but fear him. His fear. What does it do? That may be before your faces, that you sin not. That's the purpose of it. And that's what he's doing with Israel. He says, look, I don't want you to turn out aside from following the Lord. Don't be scared, but you're going to have to fear him. You're going to have to fear him. Each time the Jews out in the wilderness experienced discomfort or displeasure or homesickness for Egypt, you know what they did? They murmured and complained. And when the Jews murmured and complained, the Lord would send a plague in against them to stop them from murmuring and complaining. And you know what they'd do? They'd get scared. They'd get scared of the consequences. Ah, snakes. Fiery serpents. Ah. And they would behave for a little while because they were scared of the consequences. But after they were removed from those consequences for a short period of time and began to experience another inconvenience, they'd go right back into the same disobedience. Because they really didn't fear the Lord. They were simply scared of those bad things that would happen as a consequence of what they were doing. They never got straightened out with the Lord because their fear was fright, not awe. If you want to use a couple of words, simple words to explain it. You know, people who truly fear the Lord don't murmur and complain against God. You see the stuff that Paul went through in his life, he was not fussing with God about that stuff. And the reason is partly because he had learned a pleasure in eternal life that was greater than the pleasures he'd experienced in temporal life. But a big reason was he feared God and he was not about to question God on those things that were happening against him, or certainly not going to complain against him for it. So if we're going to benefit tonight from what Samuel told Israel, how to keep them from turning aside from following the Lord, we have to understand what he meant when he said, you're going to have to fear the Lord. We need to recognize the difference between these two kinds of fear. When you confuse fright with the fear of the Lord, you know what you do? You miss the wisdom and knowledge that comes from the fear of God. All right, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If it's the fear of the Lord, then that lays the foundation for you to become wise and to become knowledgeable about those things of God that keep you in that obedience. If it's just fright, you don't get the wisdom. And you don't get the knowledge. You know what you're doing? You're running from the consequence. You're running from the potential danger. And that is a totally different thing. The fear of the Lord is unique in that it draws you to Him, whereas other fears cause you to run for cover. Let me illustrate. When you fear the law, let's say we have laws, ordinances of men. And there are too many of those, really. But when you fear the laws, you know what you do? If you fear the laws, you know what you do? You wisely learn those laws, and then you obey those laws. For instance, if you applied for concealed carry in the state of Texas, and you get ready to sign for all the documents you need to sign in order to be able to be approved for that and get your license, you know, one of the questions that's asked in there is, do you know all the laws pertaining to concealed carry? And you sign a statement to say, I know those laws. But you didn't read those laws. No. Listen, if you fear the law, you will know those laws when you sign that. But knowing this, there you carrying that for your safety is of the Lord. So you've got that. You may be in a situation where you may need to use that weapon. And you got the confidence, well, Castle Law in the state of Texas, somebody breaking here, I'll shoot him. And I'll just call my attorney. I'll let him deal with it. If you broke the law when you used that weapon, you're in trouble. And another thing is, you have just extinguished another person's life, and you might not have been in a situation where they needed to die. There may have been another way to handle that situation, and if you thought, well, I got a gun, bless God, you ought to be around here. Well, it's not quite that easy. So when you if you fear the law, you will learn those laws and you will obey those laws because they're for your protection and the protection of other people, right? But you're not scared of those laws or the consequences of those laws. If you're obeying the law, being frightened is not part of the deal because you're working within the law and you chose to work within the law because you fear the law. Do you understand? It doesn't strike that. If you know the laws concerning your taxes, for instance, we just came through tax season, and you abide by those laws and you don't fudge on your tax returns and so forth, you're not afraid of getting caught for tax fraud. It doesn't keep you awake at night because you did, as far as you knew, you abide by the laws in making that preparation and signing that statement and turning it in. You just go on to bed. And if somebody calls you and you have an audit, well, you go through the procedure and you do the deal. You're not scared of being caught for tax fraud. You didn't do anything wrong. Do you understand? So there's a major difference between fearing something that causes you to obey it and being scared of it because you've disobeyed it. And Jews were scared because they disobeyed, not fearing to keep in obedience. I love the sound. Is that a thunder? Oh, praise the Lord. Come on, God. We're talking about thunder and rain right now. I've been praying about that too, as a matter of fact. Listen. Now, let's sum it all up. Like I said, I don't want to rush through this and try to get 3 points with this piece right here because it's so important. When you and I disobey God, He doesn't usually come down on us immediately. You know? So if you're responding to fright or in fright, and there are no immediate consequences to your disobedience, you know what you're going to do? You are going to keep disobeying. Because you associate the fear of the Lord with being scared of consequences, and there are no consequences that are proximate to your disobedience. And that's the way a lot of Christians are living their lives. A lot of young people, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, flee youthful lust, flee fornication, da da da, like that. Then they go out and start in sin and disobedience, and nothing bad happens to them. Like, well, I'm going to keep going. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. The fear of the Lord is not about scaring you with consequences. Do you understand? Those are different fears. Fright and fear of God are not the same. God doesn't want us to be scared of Him, like He's the booger man or the principal in school. He wants us to love Him. Perfect love casteth out fear. But He wants us to fear Him so we will obey Him. So what we want to learn tonight, first of all, in Samuel's exhortation to Israel is this. Fear the Lord because of who He is, and because of His authority, and because of His power. Don't wait until you get caught and then just learn to be scared of Him. You won't keep following the Lord. And the objective is, turn not aside from following the Lord. And the first key ingredient is to fear Him and thereby obey Him. Father, thank You tonight for an opportunity to see something in this text that is very helpful and very clear. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will ingrain this in our minds and hearts and help us, Lord. The fear of God is wonderful, not always an easy concept because we're so used to the emotion of fear rather than the truth of fear. Please help us tonight, Father. We may grasp what we've learned and live by these things, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.